In the name of Jesus, amen. One of the wonderful things that happened during my presidency was receiving the gift to install these stained glass windows. And I had the opportunity then to appoint a committee, and I thank the committee and also the Stained Glass Company of Lynchburg, Virginia, for the countless hours they put in for these magnificent windows, which are an enhancement of our worship life. Throughout all the windows, there are figures of faith. Some of them we know by name, others are unknown. What I want to ask you this morning is, where in these windows do you find yourself? As I was preparing the sermon, I asked myself, Dale, where do you think you fit into the windows? And I want to ask you that personally, put in your name, where do you find yourself in these figures of faith? Let me tell you where I am not. I am not in the south windows. That's history. It's super important history. We study it all the time, but it's museum. I'm not there. And I'm not on the north side in the back window, the very back window on the north side. You know, that's super important history, but I'm not there either. I am in the north window on my left. I am gathered around with others the Eucharistic tree of life. I'm there. I'll get more specific where exactly in a minute. And I want you to notice that all those who are gathered around the Eucharistic tree of life are not looking at the table. There's two, I think. But the rest of them are looking up. They're looking past the table. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The means of grace are not the goal. The means of grace are not the end. They are the means for you and me to receive from God the grace that leads to the goal, the eschatological salvation of our souls. Retirement, strange. I'm not sure if I'd advocate it, but hey, it comes. Retirement has given me plenty of opportunity to reflect upon my own ministry and also upon the ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I am very convinced that at least I, probably we, but at least I have not presented Jesus in the best way possible. Now, I'm not saying that we have presented him falsely, not at all. There will be millions and millions of people who will be in heaven because of the gospel that they heard from Missouri Synod pastors, teachers, deaconesses, church workers, lay people. So I'm not saying that we have presented Jesus falsely, not at all, but I'm convinced we have not presented him fully. Have not presented him falsely, but I'll go to the wall on this statement. I, at least, have not presented him fully. Where are you? Where am I in the figures of faith? Okay, that's a timeline question. But let's ask ourselves now, where is our Lord Jesus on the timeline of God's plan of salvation for you and for me? He's not there. He's not on the cross. He's been off the cross for 2,000 years, been there, done that. My salvation depends upon it, but that's not where he's at right now. And if you look at the chancel window and think that that's simply about the resurrection 2,000 years ago, he's been out of the tomb 2,000 years. Been there, done that. And if that's all you see is a historical museum event in that window, you know, you might very well be a Lutheran deist. And I'm quite convinced that there are a lot of Missouri Synod Lutheran deists in the church today. Let me put it this way. I think we all know what a green room is. A green room is a waiting room. If you're going to go on a TV set or if you're going to go on stage, you wait in the green room until you're called on the stage or on the set. And then after you've done your performance, you go back to the green room and you can relax and eventually you leave. I think a lot of our people in the church, and maybe you and I sometimes, think that Jesus is in the green room. The director sent him down to be incarnate, suffer, die, rise again, and then he ascended and he went back into the green room and he's just relaxing right now until the director says, "Son, time to go out on stage and judge the living and the dead." I'm convinced a lot of our people think that way, and that's why I say they might earn the title of Lutheran deists. Jesus is not in the green room. He's in the control room. Right now, he is ascended, exalted, reigning over all the world on behalf of the church, and he's going to come back soon. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. So I said, I see myself in that window on the north side around the Eucharistic Tree of Life. And I mentioned that the means of grace, as precious as they are, that's how the grace comes to us, through the means. But that's not the goal. That's not the goal. The goal is seeing Jesus face to face. Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If you look above the table, you see some faceless figures. And that's where I am. Those faceless figures are looking toward the north window. The north transept window, looking toward the one who is seated at the right hand of God in control of all things, in the control room for the benefit of us and for the church. That's where we're looking, or at least that's where I am looking. I have a quotation here from N.T. Wright. Belief that Jesus of Nazareth has been raised from the dead is closely linked in the New Testament with a belief that he has been taken into heaven, where, in the words of the psalm, he has been seated at the right hand of God. We are safe in saying it is impossible to collapse the ascension into the resurrection, or vice versa. You can't get away with the suggesting that Jesus is raised from the dead and Jesus is ascended into heaven are two ways of saying the same thing. In fact, some kind of belief in Jesus' ascension has recently been shown to be not just a strange added extra to Christian belief, as has sometimes been thought, but it is a central and vital feature without which all sorts of other things start to go demonstrably wrong. Things are going to go wrong in our life and ministry if we don't keep in the forefront of our thoughts and devotion that Christ has ascended, he is sitting at the right hand of God, he is in the control room, and soon and very soon we are going to see him face to face. I'll just mention three things that can go wrong, and I don't want to get along. This is a whole other sermon. But if we don't keep in the forefront of our devotion Christ in the control room now, we make it easy for our people to doubt the justice of God. We create an opening for them to be practical atheists, even though they might go to church, because if he's in the control room, then I guess we've got to take care of things ourselves, right? And thirdly, if we as people of personal devotion and preachers and teachers do not emphasize the dominance of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, the church will fill that vacuum. Ouch. I'm getting close to home. Nick read from 1 Peter, and Peter wants you and me, at least those of us who are gathered around the Eucharistic table, he wants us to look to Christ in the control room, to appreciate the means for what they do. They bring us the grace of God. Peter says in chapter 1, verse 3, that we have been born to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. And it is interesting that that hope is not the resurrection of Christ. Peter only mentions the resurrection of Jesus three times in his epistle, and he never mentions the general resurrection. Okay? Now, he believed him. He believed what happened in that garden, and he certainly believed that there's going to be a general resurrection in which you and I will all see Jesus face to face. So I'm not putting that down, and Peter wasn't. I mean, without the cross, without the resurrection, we have nothing. But in Peter, and not only in Peter, but in other New Testament epistles, the hope is the parousia. When you and I will see him face to face. And that's why the way we are to conduct ourselves on this side of eternity is to be in the context of waiting to see the King. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, not on Museum Jesus, and thank God for what he did in the museum, but Jesus wants to receive all our anxieties and cares now as he is at the right hand of God in the control room. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And we need a church, and we need a ministerium that not only looks to the events of the past, but also sees in that past, that sacred past, a reason for all of us to look to the future with confidence and optimism. we're going to see him. Let me wrap this up. You get older, your filters all go, you know. Every spring, we are conditioned to hear Christ is risen, and then we are conditioned to respond, he is risen indeed, alleluia. That's fine. That's true. He is risen. And by the way, if you think that that's just the resurrection of 2,000 years ago, look at that window more closely. That is already Christ in the state of exaltation. Okay? But I tell you, this Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, it doesn't resonate with me. It's kind of hollow. And I'm not saying it's not true. It is true. I'm not saying don't do it. Go ahead and do it. If I were a parish pastor, I'd plan it for Easter. But that's not exactly where I'm at. I'm looking at that. And so Peter says at the end of the reading, after you have suffered a little while, that's where we are now, the God of all grace. Remember, the means of grace are not the end or the goal. They are the means of the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will, still to come, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King, and at least that's where this figure of faith, this struggling figure of faith, this guy who's trying to figure out how do I make it on my own pilgrim way, that's where I'm looking. And I think that's where you're looking too. You know what really resonates with me? It's when my Lord Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God, tells me, I am coming soon. And I say, and we all say, amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen.